Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
So we're going to get started. So I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to introduce yourselves after we get rolling. But I think it's awesome. Pastor Bill has kind of just handed this service over to us, which is incredible. We got to hear from three senior pastors. We got to hear from, we did a youth service where we heard from some of our youth students about what they've been doing and how they've been handling, all of this craziness that we've been in the past couple of months. And so now we just wanted to kind of grab some young people from the church that are in the work field, that are, you know, in or just getting out of college, kind of in that transition time, and see what this looks like for them. And so in 1 minute, just say who you are, what you do, and how you started going to Guts, maybe how long you've been here.
Ladies first.
What a gentleman.
Okay, I'll go. My name is Allie Kennedy, and I am in physician assistant school at OU Tulsa. And I've been going to Guts my whole life. My parents were in Pastor Sandy and Pastor Bill's wedding. And our family's been great friends ever since. So, been there for a long time.
That's crazy.
I know.
Well, hi, my name is Jenna Boyd. I have been an actor my entire life. And I actually just recently moved to Tulsa, where I already had friends that were super involved with Guts Church. And so, it was sort of a no-brainer for me that that's where I was going to go, because that's where my community was. And I really feel like I belong here, and I love it a lot.
Love it. Colton, what about you, bro?
Yeah, so my name is Colton Haskin. I'm finishing up my MBA at ORU right now. I went there for 4 years and played soccer. And so that's obviously how I got to Guts. Ryan Bush was my coach, and he ended up, you know, telling some of us about Guts. We ended up going to Guts, and I've been there ever since.
I was born and raised in Tulsa. Started kind of getting introduced to Guts at GYC through Chris Hart. And then when AJ Mariah became campus host of Sepulpa, AJ was my Bible teacher in high school. And I've spent the last 5 years at ORU doing my undergrad in engineering and playing on the baseball team there. And been really plugged in to get Sepulpa. AJ's been a big mentor of my life. So just getting to serve and learn over there.
Love it. Love the Claire Copers. Brad, we're the old men on this chat, man. What about you?
No, right? I have kids. I'm old. So my wife and I are from here. My name is Brad Chapman, and my wife and I are both born and raised here. We moved to California for a couple years. My wife did her medical degree, and when we came back, it was just kind of, you know, friends leave, people change. It was just time to maybe check out. And we ended up, my wife had grown up with Cassidy, and so when we came back, she had a group of friends. All had young kids like we did, and it was like, hey, let's get together. And 2 years later, here we are, and it's just super thankful. It's just such a, I've never met a more selfless group of people, honestly. It's just like, if something needs done, it gets done, and it's just been awesome being a part of it. So
love that. And it is cool, your wife's a naturopath doctor, right? Yeah. So I'm probably jumping the gun here, but I'll just ask you first, what are your thoughts? What are her thoughts on everything that's been going on? How have you guys been handling it? Have you been cautious? Have you been, you know, it's like you guys have young kids, two young kids. And so,
oh, yeah, for sure.
How have you guys handled this, and what does she think about it?
Well, it's, I don't want to speak for her necessarily, but it's just been interesting. It's different for us collectively just being in Oklahoma, because we're not all getting on a subway every day to go to work. We're not, you know, in big crowded areas. I mean, we kind of naturally socially distance ourselves in the state. So it's just been different. I will say that early on, we definitely took a lot of precautions. And I think that has definitely helped. But, you know, it was just, there's so much unknown that now at this point, now as more information is coming out, you know, as long as we're making smart decisions and just, you know, getting back to the routine of life safely, you know, because what's safe for us is just totally different than safe for someone in New York, or my brother lives in LA. I mean, he's got 50 people within 20 feet of him. So it's like, you know, his norm is definitely different than our norm has become.
Obviously, Brad, like, you know, the business that you work in deals a lot with the entertainment industry. Jenna, you're in the entertainment industry. How has this affected, how you guys, and I'll kind of go around the conversation, go around the room, but how has this affected you guys specifically with your work? And one of the things that, for me, I'm constantly surrounded by people of faith, right? Like I work at the church, and I know that not all of you get to be around people of faith all the time, right? Most of you work in an industry or go to school with people who aren't looking at this through the lens of faith. And so if you guys could speak to that a little bit, one, how it's affected what you do, and then two, how it's affected maybe the people around you that don't view this the same way that we do from a place of faith.
Sure. I mean, I can definitely speak to that. You know, with the life of an actor, most of your time is spent not having a job. So this doesn't feel super abnormal, to be honest. But I think the only comfort that comes during those times is your ability to go out and seek a job and do what you actually have control over and go do your best in a room. And right now we don't have even that. So it really is very still in the industry right now. And it's normally one that just moves so quickly. So, I mean, it's one of those things where there just isn't a whole lot of middle ground for me anyway, between freaking out all day, every day about what's going to happen and just completely letting go of it and trusting. And the freaking out all day just sounds exhausting. So I'm just like, you know what, God, I really don't know what's going to happen. The industry could look entirely different on the other side of this, but I've just got to trust that you've got this, because what other choice do I have, really? And so that's kind of what it's looked like for me. And I'm not surrounded by people of faith. I find myself rejected a lot at work because of my faith and because I'm very vocal about it. And so it can feel really lonely in my industry, but it's moments like these where I'm just like, you know what? It's so worth all that rejection because I have peace in these moments. Whereas people who don't have that hope, are scrambling right now and freaking out about what's going to happen. And I don't feel that way. So.
Allie, what about you? Like, you're in the medical field, obviously you're training to be in the medical field. You're in college with girls that are probably about to go back to a sorority house, or, you know, it's like, I know you're kind of out of that now, but a lot of your friends are still there. How has that affected just the college world that you've been in?
I think for the girls that are still in college, I know a lot of my friends that are have been, I mean, definitely sad that their senior years were ended so quickly. But I think for me, being in my master's program and also not surrounded by people of faith, I have a few core friends that have good faith and is awesome to surround myself with. But for the most part, I think it goes back to control. And I think what really freaks them out is not having control, because they're so used to having that in their life. And I am too, but just having faith allows me to say, okay, I don't have control, and I'm going to give that over to God, because this is not my worry anymore. And I think that's a really nice escape for me that others might not really have. So it's definitely been good to have faith on my side. But in terms of the work, man, it has been just study, 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 24/7. And I think that's been something that's been different for me, is that a lot of times people are like, oh, I've loved this time to relax. And I do love being at home because I'm a homebody. But man, it has been just work all the time. So that's been another thing to deal with for sure. But like I said, having faith on my side has been 10 times better than I'm sure would have been without it.
Yeah. To the fella, Colton and Alex, you guys, you know, both playing college sports programs, right? Colton, you graduated, but you were playing professional soccer before this. And then Alex, you didn't get to play your senior season of baseball. You know what I mean? So it's like, how are the guys on your team handling this? I mean, you go to a Christian university, doesn't necessarily mean that all of those guys are, you know, taking a stand of faith on this. How has this affected your team, the guys you surround yourself with, and the guys that feel like they're maybe missing out on their last season?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of it just at first seemed like chaos. Like, this is the end of the world. The sky is falling. And it really shows you who has a life planted outside of what they do. Like, are you a baseball player, or are you a man of God that plays baseball? And it was a quick separation of, like, you could just tell in an instant. And I think it's why so many struggle with, when their careers are over, thinking this is the end of the world, what do I do next? So it was just a clear defining process when all this happened. And then moving forward 6 weeks in, it's just who can continue to prepare and work when things don't look the same, when things aren't handed to you, Can you get creative and find ways to stay in a gym or stay at home and do things? And who really, really enjoys what they do, you know, or was this just a front to look cool?
That's really good. I know at Guts, like, we pride ourselves on community, right? Like this, right, what we're doing right now, we have an incredible community of young people that we get to be around, but we don't get to be around them anymore, you know? So how have you guys navigated relationships with friends and community?
For me, it's been very eye-opening in that sense where it's, you know, it feels expensive to have people speaking into your life that aren't faith-filled people right now. And yes, I've been checking in with all different kinds of friends, but I'm just very careful about who I'm letting speak into my situation right now, because this is a hard time for everybody. And I just don't feel like I can afford, like, I can't emotionally and mentally afford having people speak into my life if they're not speaking truth over me.
I think for me, really, and really everyone, I'm sure, in the entire world is just happy that we have technology. I feel like I FaceTime people all day. I mean, people from college that have been my friends forever, people in my PA class. And what's really nice about them is that we're in the exact same situation. So we're having to figure out how to navigate this on our own as well. But we speak life into each other because we know what we're going through, but we also have the same goal in mind. And I think that's really important to have that. And even friends who aren't faith-filled, just being able to talk to them and try and speak life into them and be like, hey, this is going to be fine. It's going to work out. It's just nice to have those conversations, to have some sort of interaction in general. And I live with my parents right now, being in school. So, I mean, I have them to talk to all the time as well. So it's just nice to have some sort of community, even if technically we're alone.
Yeah. What an opportunity. Like if we never felt like we had the opportunity to speak up about our faith, we have all the opportunity in the world now. It's like, because the whole world is either this is fake, let's all go hang out, or like the world is ending, I'm never leaving my house, you know? And so we get to kind of ride that middle line of like, hey, let's use wisdom, but let's be in faith about what's going on here. And let's believe that God's going to make something great out of this terrible situation. Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned living with your parents. My parents in July bought the house right next door to us. So it's been incredible for us because we feel like we have two houses. It's like my kids live between our houses and we get to kind of go in between the two houses. They bought a dog during quarantine. So we get a dog without having to train it or clean up after it. It's incredible. And so that's been great for us. But what about you fellas? Like, how have you guys managed relationships? Alex, you got engaged during quarantine, which is crazy.
How I definitely got engaged. I was tired of waiting around and, you know, baseball had ended and I was ready to put a ring on it. Definitely had to get creative. Like there was no nice dinner involved with her parents or anything. And so, but it was very low key and very her and I kind of spoke to our personalities.
What about you, Brad? Being obviously you and I are in a little bit different stage of life. I'm honored that I got asked to host this. I'm also a little offended that I'm like the old guy hosting the young people, but we got Brad on here, so we're good to go. Being in a different stage of life, having kids and a wife, and you know, you guys primarily hang out with couples, right? And so what does it look like for you guys? How have you guys navigated relationships, friendships, and things like that?
It's real funny. Like, you get around someone this much, it's really when I know that I know that I know that I made the right decision. You know, you get around your spouse and you can't get away from them. You either love them or you hate them, and a little bit of both at times. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, okay, I don't know that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to really start seeing stuff. And, you know, I think someone had mentioned about, you know, what are we doing for other people? And even if you're not saying or telling someone what to do or giving them guidance in this, I mean, even just as a church, the example that we set of how we're going through this situation speaks volumes. I had pulled up a text message because you had mentioned, you know, how are we interacting with people? I mean, I live with my family and I work and our company is a small, I mean, we've got 5 people in our office here in Tulsa. And when all this went down, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of doubt. There's just a lot of fear, honestly. People are freaking out about their jobs, about their well-being. And we were able to step up and just say, we're going to make sure our people are taken care of. Like, you don't have to worry about it. And I got a text message after that from a girl that works here. And she said, I can't and won't be able to say thank you enough over the next couple months. You have no idea how much is going to help me and my husband. We're beyond blessed to have come into this company. You know, I'm not a religious person, but I believe I'm here for a reason, and me coming here was no accident. I'm probably going to be crying all day tomorrow, but definitely I am very thankful. That was not me preaching at her. That was not me praying with her. That was us literally just saying, hey, the world is in a crazy place. I mean, our industry is in a crazy place. We do a lot of sports and live events. There's no sports and live events now. So the supply is, or the demand has dropped significantly. But what we have been able to do is take this time and show people around us, our employees and the people we work with, that the world is chaos right now. But that's not determining our outlook on this. Like, we're going to get through it. It's going to get better. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I will say that during this time, we've been a light to people, and it's been super encouraging to people that you don't even have to be preaching at them for them to see the impact, and just the way that the church can approach this whole situation differently.
People are definitely watching how the church responds. You know, like, I loved hearing from the three different senior pastors a couple of weeks ago. We got to hear from Denny Duran, Rich Wilkerson Sr., and Pastor Bill, because I just wanted that wisdom. You know, it's like, how are you as a pastor? I mean, this changes the game, right? It's like, we've got to completely, I think that this is going to change how we do ministry forever. And so it's like, ministry looks completely different to us now. We're calling people, we're texting people. Not that we didn't do that before, that's literally all we have now. We don't get that physical interaction with them and being able to see them face to face and being able to look and say, like, who wasn't here this week? Who wasn't at church? You know, we don't have names of everyone that jumped on our stream. So it's not like we can say who's been out of the loop or whatever. We've just got to do a great job of connecting with people. And I know all of you are great connectors. That's one of the reasons we asked you guys to be on this call, is because we know that you guys have continued to build and take care of the connections that you have in the church. And one of the things I wanted to ask, a couple of you talked about it, but who has been speaking into your life in this time?
Your wife, Heather, actually, has been like a huge person. No, she's been super important for me, especially during this time, just because, I mean, in the stillness, in the aloneness, like, as a single girl, there's stuff that comes up during something like this. And she's been consistently somebody that checks on me and that speaks truth over me and, you know, won't let me. She just provides a safe space for me to even reach out and say, like, hey, I need help and I need you to kind of, like, I need you to be there for me right now. So that's been huge for me. So Heather's the best.
I agree. I think everyone agrees. I've been super fortunate because I actually work, my dad is the one that started the company. So I work super closely with my dad. And I can say, whether it's a business or a church or whatever, you have strong leadership like that at top during a time like this, where that's where you're looking, and they're not freaking out. You know, they're definitely taking precautions and doing stuff differently, but you just watch someone's actions like that, where, you know, like, you know, like the other guys are saying, like, you're not grounded in whatever your occupation is. You're a man of God doing that occupation. You see that from the top down, and it's like, yeah, I mean, this sucks. Wasn't expected. Nobody expected it. Nobody planned for it, but here's how we're moving forward. And it's through faith, and that just will completely speak to you, even, you know, that just being able to work under him and just see the leadership example has been awesome for me.
I know one thing for me with getting out of baseball, I have the opportunity, like the choice, to maybe go back and do kind of what Colton did and start my MBA and play one more year. And just walking through that decision, the Lord just threw a lot of people in my way from Guts, and they were men too, that have made similar decision, like Josh Turpin. Terp gave me a call 2 days ago, and it was just out of the blue, and he was like, man, what can I do for you? And he always starts his phone calls with, what can I do for you? And I was like, dude, maybe you can help me with this decision. And he just, right off the bat, it was so relevant. It was, he brought up so many good points from when he got out of the Army, that he had the opportunity to go back or to start his next life. And I think one thing that's tough for me in this time is I have like a niche with the recent passing of my dad. And I heard Pastor Bill say this once, that you should always have a gray-haired man in your life to speak wisdom into you. Is I just miss like those nightmare work nights, or, you know, guts people going out and helping out after the storms in Sepulpa. I just always would have a niche for like finding somebody that you could tell had just been through life, had some gray hairs on him, and I would just pick at him with questions. And I think one thing that's tough for me is not really having those face-to-face interactions and meeting some of the great men that are in our church, you know?
Yeah. How has this changed how you guys have been seeking God? Has this changed how you seek God? Or maybe your time with God, but throughout this quarantine, has it changed, and how has it changed how you guys do that?
Honestly, I feel like this has given me a new fire underneath me, a new passion. And I feel like that is really because of, this might sound weird, but everyone posting on social media. And it's really those other examples that are like, wow, so many people are speaking the name of Jesus. All these big time celebrities are like, look to Jesus for these problems. He's the only one who's in control right now. And to me, I'm like, okay, something amazing can come out of this. And that is so, makes me so excited to see, because I think a lot of times sometimes I'm doubtful, and it's like, oh man, I need the whole world to come to Jesus right now. And I feel like just these little glimpses of hope, is just really awesome to see. And I feel like it's lit a new fire underneath me. And it's like, okay, I want to grow in my relationship as well. And I want to pull all my friends in with me and say, hey, look what great news we can have. Like, this is victory in our life. Like, if we don't quit, we win. And I want y'all to join me in this. And so I feel like this time has allowed me to really see that. And not that I hadn't seen it before, but for sure now it's just like wide open door.
Yeah.
This seems like kind of a silly small thing, but not being able to go to church to worship, which is something I love about being physically at church. And I've played worship music in my home forever, but actually worshiping in my home is something that is totally different during this time, where like that's specifically what I'm doing for a period of time. And that's all I'm doing is just worshiping in my house. And so that has been something that's totally new for me. That's really been special to me. And to just kind of come to a realization that church is not the exclusive place of worship. My home can be that for me too. And so that's been really special.
That's so good.
I think one thing that stuck out for me is, and AJ Claire Coper really challenged the Sepulpa men with this, is that God honors the prepared. And so like this, for a lot of people and a lot of families, is not a battle. This is time to be sharpening your sword, to go, especially for the men, like in the morning or whatever time that is, to go find that quiet place to ask those tough questions with the Lord and to seek out his heart, to find out who the Lord really is, and to sharpen that sword, because when all this is over, you're going to have to take up some battles and fight some battles for your family and for others. And you're either going to be well prepared, or you're going to be walking into it not equipped, not at all.
That's good.
Yeah, just to kind of touch on what Alex said, how quarantine has kind of changed for me is it's given, I mean, all of us too, the decision, are we going to sleep in, or are we going to seek God early? You know, the Bible says those who seek me early shall find me. And so that's kind of been a verse that I've been kind of standing on during quarantine, because every day we're presented with the opportunity, you know, we can sleep in and we can slowly go about our morning, or, you know, we can still wake up early and seek first the kingdom. And whenever, you know, last year, you know, we would have practice at 9 a.m. and you'd have to be there at 8, you know, it's so easy to wake up at 6:30 or 6, you know, and spend your time with God and do breakfast and stuff like that. But now we don't really have anything holding us accountable, you know, like a work schedule or a practice schedule. And so we really have to find it within ourselves, you know, are we really going to be men of God here? Are we really going to be women of God here? And so that's been a really good conviction for me. It's really good to be surrounded by people like AJ and Ryan Bush. Dustin, you called it, I was going to bring them up again, but we've been having Bible study Monday mornings for a really long time, and now we've transitioned to Zoom. And so it's just been great to be surrounded by people like Coach Bush and AJ to hold all of us accountable, you know, to make sure that we're getting up early and still seeking God, even whenever you don't have anything to do afterwards.
It's funny, and Brad, you can speak to this as well. When we started quarantine, I was talking about, man, we're all going to have this extra time, and I hope that, you know, men are seeking God, and I hope that we, you know, we take advantage of this time because most of us are working from home. And for me, not being in a routine and not being in a schedule, I've had to work, I feel like, a lot harder because I do have three kids and because they are up early and want to stay up late. And so Heather and I found about a weekend, it's like, wait a minute, we've got to find some type of schedule and some type of routine, or else we're just going to let all of this fade together. You know, we joke about like not knowing what day it is and not knowing, you know, what we're doing, whatever, day to day. But I've had to make sure that I get myself in a routine, or else it's really easy to go a few days and that, man, I've been so busy, but with what? You know, what is that? Brad, can you speak to that a little bit with having kids and running a business from home?
Yeah, I mean, you realize it's Sunday when Chick-fil-A is closed and your whole world gets locked. What do we do for lunch at that point? No, I mean, like you said, it's just finding a new norm. I mean, especially when you have other people that you're responsible for, whether it's employees or your kids, you know, providing that normalcy during that time, people need that. And, you know, whether it's, you know, providing normalcy in the workplace or normalcy in your home, it's just something that we kind of got to buckle down and do. But just finding a new normal, so to speak, of just being able to balance it. I mean, I worked from home for almost 5 years while we were in California. And I always said it was so easy to continue working, but it was so hard to get started. And that's the same for work or our spiritual life or even just our relationships. It's so hard to actually get started and working at it. Finding a happy and healthy balance between that is really key during all of this.
Yeah. I don't want to keep you guys too long. One thing I do want to ask, what do you feel like is one thing that you've learned about yourself during this quarantine? Good or bad? Positive, negative?
I feel like if I didn't already know this before. So for one, I'm a one on the Enneagram and I love a good schedule. Oh, Jen is too, I guess. Yeah. I love a good schedule. So this has definitely thrown a wrench in things, not having a specific schedule. And I think for me, if I don't have a schedule, I'm one to kind of just freak out right from the start and kind of be frustrated and be like, immediately think about how's this going to work out? And my dad, no matter what, always says, hey, everything works together for your good. And sometimes I don't want to hear it. Sometimes I'm like, will you just let me sulk in my frustration for a second? And he's like, no, everything works together for your good. It's all going to be great. Don't worry about it. And I think that's been really important, especially now, for me to learn. And he said that my whole life, but for some reason now it has a different meaning because it really is also uncertain and plans have fallen through. I mean, people's graduations look different. Their weddings look different. And so I think that is just one thing that I'm really holding strong to. And it's like, no, this all works together for my good. And I remember Heather Cleveland, when I was a youth kid, she was like, anytime it says your, you replace that with my, and you make sure that it means you and it hits exactly where you're at. So what I do, and I'm holding strong to that. So
I feel like I have really realized that, I mean, we can ask Jesus to come sit on the throne of like our life, like that big one, but there's a bunch of other little thrones that, you know, sometimes I think we have given over to the Lord that we have not. And so I've really been going through this process where God's just revealing to me like, hey, you thought you gave that one over to me, but you have not. And so I feel like I've been going through them all, finances, career aspirations, relationships, and just really having that stuff exposed to me. But it's been this really painful but beautiful process of God being like, here's what it looks like for you to actually give up that seat and let me sit there. And so I'm so thankful for this time to get to do that without distractions, without being able to busy myself, because that is something I will take into life on the other side of this.
Yeah, I can speak to that too, because the Bible calls this like a precious metal, right? And so it's the time and the pressure and the heat that helps like refine that metal. And I've kind of just learned to, I've always felt that physically, right? Like being an athlete, I can force my body to do whatever it needs to do to train for the goal set before me. But spiritually too, like allowing those things that you haven't given over to God to rise to the surface and change them now. And especially for me, knowing the man I want to be going into marriage, I need to give them up now. Like, it's now or it's going to cause problems down the road. And like Jenna said, whether it's financially, spiritually, whatever it is, just taking the time now to get rid of those things and give them to the Lord.
We've definitely, my wife and I have really just seen the aspect of trusting God through all of this. We're in the process of a home remodel and adoption. We've got two little kids. We've got, you know, the uncertainty of what the economy is going to look like. And, you know, we've done it over and over for as long as I can remember, as we get this idea in our head of here's the end goal. And it's like, hey, God, here's a great path. I see it. This is exactly where I think we should go. I hope you're on board with that. And then something like this happens. And it's like, man, my plans just completely went out the window. I have no idea what's happening next. I have no idea how I'm going to get there. And then I finally will just step back and let go. And then I'm really excited, honestly, just to see after all this is done, just to see what comes of all of this that hasn't ever been a part of the radar. That it's just seeing everything after you get on the other side of it and just seeing how it was all orchestrated together for our good and in a way that's better than we could have ever imagined. That's probably the thing I'm most excited about seeing on the other side of this. And something that we've done personally is just getting to the point where it's like, well, God, I guess I have to let you be in control now.
Yeah. Jenna said it earlier, you know, it is so exhausting in this season of life not to trust God. And I don't know if I'm just not really realizing it or if I've already known, but I'm such a do it tomorrow kind of guy. I'm a big procrastinator with my homework. I'm that guy that will start my homework assignments at 11:59, you know, on Sunday night, right before it's due. But this is one of the reasons why I spoke earlier about seeking God early, because for me, I know myself, and during the quarantine, I'm starting to understand more that I need to have that routine, but that routine is irrelevant if it doesn't start with God, if it doesn't start with spending time with Him, if it doesn't start with reciting His promises over my life and for that day. And so for me, I've just learned more that I need to be more reliant on God, and that whenever I do seek God first and early, my day is so much more productive. I can get my homework done. I can get my chores done. I can do studying. I can, you know, work out and eat right. Everything is foundational on starting first and early with God. So that's something I'm really learning through quarantine.
That's good. All right. To close it out, next week we're back, right? Church is open. We've been here. I mean, we got here, the whole staff, GAs, interns all got here early this morning. We're sanitizing everything, cleaning everything, putting spots on the floor for social distancing, separating rows. I mean, in full preparation mode to be back in church. So, but we also want to make sure that we have something for the comfort level of everyone. So we're still going to have our online services. They're still going to be amazing and well-produced. We're still going to allow people to host watch parties if they're comfortable with that, to be able to pull up and listen to it on their radio, and to also be able to be in church. So of those options, which are you? Are you like I'm gonna be home for a little while watching online. I'm going to maybe get a few of people I trust in to have a watch party, or like, I'm going to be here elbowing up everybody that I see and keeping my distance or whatever. Like, who are you coming back? What is coming back to church look like for you guys?
Oh, I'm coming back to church. I can't wait. I'm ready to see like my girlfriends. I'm ready for that community again. And that's saying a lot coming from like someone who is highly introverted. Like, I am ready to be around people.
I'm going to be back. And like Jenna said earlier, it was amazing to find like that you can worship in your home, but I just still, nothing beats, you know, Nikki and Josh and Kate Miller just up on stage, like letting the beat drop. I mean, I just can't wait to be back.
After coronavirus hit, all my operations in Tulsa kind of got shut down. So I did move back home. You know, I'm living with my parents right now. And so I'm an hour and a half away. So I may be that one participating online. But you know, there's still a possibility that I will drive down Sunday morning just so I can be there with you guys, because I'm definitely a church first kind of guy. So I'm Dustin. You may be just one text message away from convincing me to drive down. I may do it, but as of right now, I'm gonna have to do online.
my decision is made entirely by the smarter one in our house who has a medical degree. So I'll leave it up to her. I don't know what we're doing.
That's very smart. Very smart. Even without the med degree,
That's just like a twofold, you know, you got the wife and she knows something about, I don't know, maybe has biochemistry, molecular biology knowledge. Yeah, I'm going to probably leave it up to her on that one.
You know what? Will you text me her decision? We'll just all kind of go off of what she says. I'm down to listen to that. Man, thank you guys so much. This has been incredible. It's been great, one, to just hang out with people, even if it's online, just have like a group of us in the same room together and be able to chat, but also just in preparation for what we're about to be doing and just to be back in church. This gets me as excited as ever to be back together. And of course, like I said, I mean, you know, we have to use caution coming back together and just see what those next few steps, like, you know, look like for us. But man, I'm so excited to be together again. And we know the church isn't a building, it's in us, but I do miss the building. I do love being together and being with my people. I miss our young adults group. I miss getting together on Wednesday nights and spending time with you guys and just being in community together and going out to eat. Oh my gosh, like just that whole aspect. So I'm definitely ready to be together. But man, thank you guys so much. Again, I want to thank Pastor Bo for giving us this time and letting, you know, we young people, I'll claim it, just kind of take over his stage, his platform, and be able to speak to our church. And so, man, thank you guys so much for being a part of this. Appreciate you guys, and we'll see you Sunday.
Thanks, Dustin.
Yeah, thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, Dustin.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.